like we're both in very the same color scheme.
Oh my god, you're... Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. I like how we're talking as though we haven't been hanging out for the past couple hours.
You're right. We should be more real, okay?
Okay. As I was saying earlier, I think it's funny that each of these blankets correspond to our color palettes today.
I didn't even notice until you pointed out, but it's very, very interesting. Santa.
Yes.
I was trying to think of something, but I didn't, so let's continue.
Okay. Okay, I guess I'll just talk about what I was talking about a bit earlier, and I don't want to sound like I'm really old, because I'm not, I'm literally not, but I'm starting to feel old, because I think my For You page, it's showing a lot more stuff that I think caters to, like, a bit of a younger audience than me. So I was telling you earlier today, I saw this, like, edit of this show on Disney called Cooper and Cammy or something, and I had never heard of this before, and I, like, Googled it, and I was like, oh my god, I feel really old for not knowing this Disney show. And then I saw something else, and it was, it was an edit of these, like, YouTubers or something, but they were, like, Gen Alpha YouTubers, you know?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I don't know who these people are at all, and I felt really old, and that's it.
I think, like, that edit of Disney Channel shows, that era, it was, like, Sydney to the Max, Cooper and Cammy, and One Another. Like, there were these specific shows that I remember, and I only watched, like, the first few episodes of those, but I remember those shows. It's just, like, yeah, I think it is for the younger generation, because it came out more recently. But yeah, I think it's funny. I've never gotten one of those edits before.
I guess maybe that's my own fault then. You built your own For You page.
I guess it's very different. I don't know. How are you feeling about Descendants as a franchise?
I've always loved it. I feel like the first two, in my opinion, were better than the third one, but I still liked the third one a lot, and I still liked a lot of the songs and the plot a lot. I just didn't like it as much. And maybe that's the nostalgia factor too. I don't know. But I was rewatching them, like, really recently with my sister to celebrate watching, like, the fourth one. And, like, these movies, yes, they were, like, cheesy and whatever, but they were really fun. I feel like this is so biased. I know this. Okay, but I feel like they were just a lot better than this new one. And we'll talk about why I think that later. What about you?
I agree. I feel like even though they are maybe cheesy, I could watch them so many times without ever getting bored. And I have done that many times before. Like, I think I've watched the movies, like, about combined time like 10 times at least. And Descendants 3, it was also good, especially the songs. I will say Descendants never failed with songs until Descendants 4.
They did so good at making songs that sound like songs you would hear on the radio. I feel like these are songs that I would really want to listen to regardless if it was in a movie or like a Disney movie or whatever. For this new one, I don't know if I can say the same thing, but
I was listening to the Red song, like Turn It Red, Rising Red, whatever it was. I think it's okay. I was, like you mentioned once before, that it was the least worst out of all of them, and I think I'm starting to get that. Yeah, it's an okay song.
Okay.
Yeah. But I can't imagine listening to any of these songs on my Spotify playlist, you know? Like, I used to do that with every show I watch, if I like the songs, but I can't with this.
What other shows did you listen to on your Spotify playlist?
Glee, oh my gosh. I still listen to the Glee covers to this day because some of them are just better, you know?
I think that Blaine sings Magic. Magic.
And his covers of, like, Teenage Dreams and Somewhere Only We Know, they're so good. They're so good.
Also, I think Smooth Criminal with Naya and Grant Gustin. I feel like that one was really good, too.
And also any Jesse and Rachel, like, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yes. And also, whenever Mercedes did anything, like, when she showed off her vocal range, like, with the boy's mind, Mercedes, she pulled through.
Do you remember that one, like, in the very first few episodes? It was, crashing his car, like, I bust the windows out of your car.
Can you sing a bit more?
That's all I remember. Something, something.
Maybe. It's been a while since I've seen the first season of Glee, so I might have to go back and do a rewatch.
I thought that was iconic because it was like her busting out like the windows of Kurt's car because she liked him and he didn't like her back.
I forgot about that plot line.
Yes.
Speaking of which, since we're talking about Glee, how did your Glee rewatch go? You probably didn't finish it, did you?
Well, Thana, as I mentioned once before, I'm going to say it again. Everyone knows rewatches aren't supposed to be the full show, okay? Okay, so I can feel entitled to watch as many episodes as I feel like fit. So I watched like a solid 2 seasons, and I think that's very good for a rewatch.
That's fair. I feel like I can't judge with rewatch, so I'm going to judge instead with first watches.
I think you can't judge with first watches. No, at
the
all.
Difference between me and you is that I've accepted that I just can't finish, and it's a bad habit that I need to get over. But you like to pretend as though you're not also I swear, like that.
I'm not like that. I'm not like that.
Oh my god, do you want to list out? I'll list them out, okay? Shameless.
Okay, Shameless was a different story. I got so far.
How far did you get?
Like 5 seasons into it.
11 seasons long, so it's not very far at all, is it?
Stop, it was so long.
House.
I'm 5 episodes away from finishing, and I will finish.
You've been 5 episodes away for 2 months now, so I don't think that counts.
Okay, well, what about Gossip Girl? Even though I think it's boring, I'm like painfully watching through it because I need to finish it.
Can I be honest? I don't think you're going to finish it. I think you're going to get to like
6 seasons, okay? I'm on the 5th season. I'm like almost done.
I think after the 5th season ends, you're just going to get so bored of it and you're going to move on because you're already watching My Lady Chain, right? I think you finished it.
I finished it, yeah.
You're going to
finish it.
It's 1 season long.
Did you?
No, I didn't.
Can you say the same?
No, I didn't because I admit it. Okay, what I was trying to say is you're just going to move on to another 1 season show to distract you and another 1 season show to distract you.
Well, there's no more 1 season shows. So, like, I found all the good ones, I think. So I'm just gonna, like, I'm watching Gossip Girl because I have nothing else to watch.
Okay. Okay, on to the list. One Tree Hill.
One Tree Hill? That's, like, continuously, okay? I'll watch a few episodes on some days. It's just, like, I need a break sometimes.
Hermita, when was the last time you watched an episode of One Tree Hill?
Like, last week, okay? Really? But I need to take continuous breaks or else I can't watch all in one sitting.
Okay, that's fair.
I think sometimes I need to do that with books too. Like, I need a day book and a night book. I like need to rotate between so I can like, I don't know. I think it's my attention span.
I agree with me. I feel like I need to get out of my reading slump. Like, I just don't know what it is. I'm not really reading much these days. I think I need to figure out what will get me back in.
I read a really good book, so you should read that as well.
What book was it?
I told you about it before. It was called In Memoriam, and I finished it recently.
How was it?
It wasn't that, like, sad of an ending, so I was kind of happy. Oh, but it was a really nice love story.
That's good to hear, because I remember you were telling me that a lot of people said the ending was surprising?
Did I?
I don't know. Something, it was sad or surprising or something about the ending.
So oh, there was something happy in the middle that happened, okay. And then, yeah. But it's a really good book. And in fact, I think since the New York Times list of like best books came out recently, we should like do an episode on that soon. Because yeah, I guess we can see how our opinions of books differ.
I'm really excited. I read out of their top 10, I've read 2, but I haven't really heard of. Wait, I remember also seeing a couple books from our English book club.
Oh, really? Like, which ones?
I don't know if they made the top 10, but they were on the list. Never Let Me Go.
Oh,
made
okay.
The list. Yeah. Station 11 made the list.
Well, Station 11. Oh, you didn't read Station 11, right?
No.
I did, yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Station 11 was such an interesting book. Like, I've never read anything like it. And I will probably never read anything like it. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it is a good book. I really don't know. I can't judge.
I feel like when you're doing it for school, sometimes it kind of taints the book for
That's
you.
That's true, yeah.
Like for Kill a Mockingbird, I did it for English, but now I feel like I can't appreciate it as a book fully because I just have so much trauma of like being stressed and trying to write everything out.
That makes sense, yeah. I feel like when it's something you have to do, it kind of makes it like you don't want to do it anymore. So, this is quite a long warm-up.
Oh, yes, we should probably get into it.
Yes. So, today, as we probably mentioned before, we're going to be sharing some of our opinions on the new Descendants movie that came out, Descendants 4, Rise of Red.
This movie came out on July 12th, and I think it's been really popular. I've seen so many edits on my like For You page, so much stuff from the actors and interviews and stuff like that showing up, so I'm really excited to get into it.
Let me say, the one thing I'm really happy about with this movie coming out is that it's led to a rise of emergence again. A rise of descendants again, because I keep seeing a lot of edits of descendants.
Was that like supposed to be a reference to like the name? Like Rise of Red and Rise of Descendants?
No, it wasn't. I was just like looking for words and it came to me. But yeah, I'm glad I'm seeing more descendants content on my For You page. So I'm happy about that.
Same. Like, I know Descendants has always been pretty popular, but just to like see all that love all over again, it's really nice to see.
I agree. Also, for some reason, when I was young, I didn't think The Sense was popular. I thought it was a niche thing. I thought about everything I liked, like Austin and Ally, these random, like Hannah Montana. I never thought anything I liked was, like, popular.
You thought Hannah Montana wasn't popular?
Well, I knew it was with my friends, but I thought, like, the whole world doesn't know about this. That's
No, I get it. I was, like, with that with Austin and Ally, too. I was like, no one knows this show. It's my comfort little niche show. And then I saw, like, how many, like, views the hashtags had, and that got me really humbled.
I've really been wanting to rewatch Austin and Ally soon, but I won't do it until I finish Gossip Girl.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways.
If you say so.
Anyways.
Okay, so I guess for some context, we'll go back to, like, the first three movies that came out before this one. So this is set in the world of, I guess you would say Ordon present day, where, like, the 30 years ago, the Beast, he united all of these different kings to come together to form Ordon, and then the main cast, or, like, the main characters that we see is the children of these famous characters from storybooks. So then, like, we have Ben, who is this is, like, really details, I guess, but okay, I guess the only thing you have to take away is that at the end of the first movie, the villain kids, who are kids from the Isle of the Lost, which is where all the villains are banished away from Ordon, four of them came to Ordon, and that's where Mal, daughter of Maleficent, she ends up thwarting her mother's evil plans, blah blah blah. She and Ben end up together. Second movie, they go back to the Isle, and then, like, in the third movie, them and then their friend Mal and her friends Evie, Jay, and Carlos, they bring back other villain kids to the Isle, and they bring, like, peace between the Isle of the Lost and Ordon. That's kind of, like, all you have to know, I feel like.
And don't forget Mal's father, Hades, god of the underworld.
Yes. And then this movie, it kind of starts off, obviously the actor for Carlos, he sadly he's no longer with us, so he was not, like, he's kind of honored in this movie, but the other characters are mentioned to have been on
a journey.
Yeah, journey. Mal, yeah. Evie, Jane, Carlos were, like, on a boat trip somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now Uma is the new, like, principal. I don't know if it's temporary, but she wants to unite every single kingdom. She doesn't want to leave one single kingdom out, so she's like, we have to bring in Red from Wonderland.
Just one thing, we forgot to introduce Uma, but Uma is the daughter of Ursula, and she was the villain in the second movie, but she is no longer the villain. She's, like, good with the main characters now.
Basically, that's all the villains. I think they've all, like, you know, reformed, most of them, at least the villain kids.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh yeah. And so she sends out an invitation to Princess Red, who is the daughter of the Queen of Hearts in Wonderland, who's this, like, kind of tyrant, as said in the movie. And she's Princess Red. She's kind of a rebel, so she doesn't like her mother and her plans and how her mother doesn't accept her for who she is. So she wants to get away from Wonderland, and so she wants to accept the invitation. But her mother has, like, other plans. She wants her to accept, but she has this, like, evil plan that she wants to take over all of Ordon because somebody played a prank on her when she went to the school before, and so that turned her kind of evil and against Ordon. So when they go in and when they accept the invitation and, like, travel between worlds into Ordon, her mother is, like, interrupts Uma's speech while she's speaking, and she, I don't know, pulls out a deck of cards. This is kind of unique, and she, I guess, traps everyone, and it was mentioned that her and Cinderella used to be, like, best friends back in the day. But then she captures her as well. And Chloe, Cinderella's daughter, is like, Red, you have to stop this. Like, you're not like your mom. You're better than this. And then Red was given this time-traveling device from the Mad Hatter before. And so she kind of took this as an opportunity to go back in time. And Chloe accidentally came back in time with her. So they basically try to stop this from happening by preventing the prank that led to, like, the Queen of Hearts becoming evil happening. And that's the main plot.
I had this little gripe, but I found it really funny that Uma was like, we have to reunite all the kingdoms, blah, 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 blah. And Fairy Godmother doesn't even mention, like, hey, the Queen of Hearts is like, really powerful. She has a lot of strong magic. Are we just going to invite her to the Isle without, like, talking to her, without being like, oh, hey, because we've had experience in the past, right? Where, like, Maleficent came and she, like, did all that. So I feel like the fairy godmother, she should have had the foresight to be like, hey, Uma, we need to make sure that the evil, the Queen of Hearts is not out here, like, doing anything, right? Because I feel like Bakugo just invited her, and then she came, and then she, like, did her evil thing. I feel like that was so straightforward. Like, how did they not see this coming?
To be fair, for a fairy godmother, she was like, oh, but the Queen of Hearts is malicious and evil. Like, I don't think we should. So, yeah. But Uma was just like, no, we want to make a change, so we need to start right now. And, yeah, I don't think there's anything to stop her. I do agree, after, like, that experience with Maleficent in the first movie, they should have took some precautions this time around. So, yeah, just another, I guess, plot hole.
Also, them, like, in the second movie, I guess, spoiler, but, like, inviting Uma onto the boat and then not thinking that she would do anything.
Yeah, they're just, like, very good, very kind-hearted, very open-minded.
Very pure.
Yes. So now we'll be... Now that we're, like, done with the whole plot summary, we can start getting into our thoughts about the movie.
Can we just quickly do, like, a little bit more into what happens as they try to go in the past?
Yeah.
Because they go on, like, a lot of, I guess I would say, hijinks. Like, they learn that the prank is going to be caused by Uliana, who is Ursula's sister, which I have thoughts about as well, but yeah. And then what they end up doing is that they learn that she's going to use this magical cookbook that is in the... Professor Merlin, who was like the head of the school at the time, Merlin Academy. And so, like, there's a lot of, like, hijinks in between their mothers. They learn we're best friends at the time, and then, you know, well, they both learn new things they didn't know about their mother's past and blah 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 blah. And then they end up thwarting the plan by freezing the VKs, and they end up working together, and then they overcome their differences, come back to the future, everyone is happy, everything is great. That's the end.
That's how basic it is. Like, you can say it in, like, one long breath, and you're, like, done the plot, you know. But yeah, that is all of the sentence four.
That's so funny. It was, like, 2 minutes of us talking. It's, like, that's the entire movie, like you just said.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's, like, a few more details inside it and a few very bad songs. But that's it.
Since you brought up songs, do you want to just go into it and start off with the soundtrack for the film? I know, I remember us talking about this earlier as well.
Yes. So, the soundtrack of the film. Let me, like, start off by saying it all sounded like a variety of the same song. If you showed me the songs right now, I would probably not be able to tell you what the difference is, apart from, like, hearing the lyric, like, looking at the lyrics themselves. But all I hear is, like, these beats playing in, like, a, like, rap kind of thing, because they tried to do this kind of rap battles between the characters. Like, it reminded me of It's Going Down, but in a really bad way. What do you think?
I feel like they were trying to beat Disney Hamilton, but it didn't really work out in their favor because A, they're not Lin-Manuel Miranda, and B, B, I feel like the lyrically, I guess, I feel like if you're going to be Hamilton, you need to pull out all the stops. These were, like, really basic lyrics, which is not, like, a bad thing. Like, Sundance also had, like, the previous movies also had, like, I think, like, pretty basic lyrics, but at least the production was interesting and unique for each song. But with this one, all the songs have very similar production, and they're the same type of song. Like, you don't have any ballads, you know, that I can think of.
Maybe Red and Chloe, do they? I don't know.
Or, like, a solo song.
Like, If Only.
Yeah, like, we don't really get anything, like, with, like, piano. It's just, like, the same sounds over and over. And I remember you mentioning, like, reverb being in a lot of songs.
Yeah, I noticed it with the first song, the Red song, and it had this kind of, like, echoey feeling, and I really didn't like that because they kept using it to the point where I was like, I notice it. Usually I don't in a song and it's fine, but, like, every single song they were using that.
I will give that song its credit, though. I think the chorus is really catchy.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Like, it's been stuck in my head, like, red, the
red,
like,
red, that. Red, yeah, yeah.
The other songs, I can't even name them, but this one, it does have a good tune. True. To it, in my opinion.
But I remember that, like, too sweet. Life is sweet. Life is sweeter when you are.
I know the Jasmine Aladdin part. I saw a lot of people say it looks like a toy ad for, like, Jasmine and Aladdin, and I really see that.
So accurate.
I really see that.
Like, you know those dolls you get where they sing? It would be that. Like, Jasmine Aladdin of hair.
What did you think of the end song? Because, like, every Sundance movie, right, they have this dancing scene at the end where there's, like, a song, everyone's dancing, usually everyone has really pretty costumes on.
I'm gonna be so honest. I don't know what the end song is, but you know what it's titled?
It was something about, like, I don't even know. I don't remember the name, but I remember its, like, main theme was, like, we need to open our hearts to each other and, like, be kind or something.
Another, this reminds me, another thing about these songs is they all have the same message. It's, like, very, very simplifying it down to, like, oh, I'm so bad. I make the bad decisions all the time. I'm so evil. And then the other side is, like, oh, open up your mind. Blah, 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 you'll see. And then we can all be together. Together we're a whole, like, that was what I was getting from the whole soundtrack. It's just variations of the same thing, the same message, the same sound. It was all the same. There was no creativity that I was seeing in any of these songs.
I feel like this movie is, like, I don't know if Disney is smart enough for this. I feel like this movie is, like, building up to another movie. Like, I feel like this is all, like, context for something else to come that I feel like will hopefully be better. But I don't know that, and I don't know if I'm reading too much into it.
I don't know if Disney really has the ability to, like, make a more complex movie than this. I'm really seriously doubting their ability, especially now that Kenny Ortega isn't directing it anymore.
You can tell he didn't direct it.
Oh, imagine what it would have been like if Lin-Manuel Miranda did it. It would be, like, so good.
I agree, but I also... like, I can't imagine, like...
Well, he did Moana.
He did do Moana.
So he can definitely do Disney, you know?
I feel like if Lin and Kenny work together, dream team.
I agree. Also, like, this kind of goes into the songs, but the choreography in the first few movies, it was, like, interesting, you know? And I was like, hyped up from it. But this, I don't know. Maybe their, like, costuming took away from me noticing it.
Since you brought up costuming, do you want to get into our next section of discussion in terms of costuming, set design, visual, stuff like that?
I would love to.
Go ahead. Okay. Say yours.
So, first thing we both notice immediately is that they're all wearing these really bright, eye-catching neon colors. Like, Chloe, the daughter of Cinderella, is wearing this really, really bright shade of blue.
It's like a bedazzled jacket, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, she has a bedazzled jacket and these bedazzled boots that were supposed to be like the glass slippers because her mom gave them as a present. And then Red, her hair is not bad. I think it's fine. But then her costuming and design, like, it definitely could have been better. Because I think in the first few movies, I keep comparing it to that, but the villain cast had such nice, unique attires. But now it's like they're all blending together.
I think... oh my god, we tried to film, like, part of this before, so that's why I keep referencing, like, oh, you said this before, because we did talk about this a bit earlier.
Yeah.
I remember you saying, and I thought this was a really good point, but do you remember when you were saying, like the difference between the way the people from the Isle of the Lost dress and the way the Auradon kids dress, but then in the third movie, they all kind of come together, right?
Yeah.
Those styles kind of mix. I thought that was a really good point.
Yeah, I think, to an extent, I think it could have been done a lot better. Like, you can find a really beautiful mix and blend between those. If Iwu was, like, making the dresses, she could definitely do that, you know? I loved all her dresses. But then in this movie, you get all, like, the Auradon kids wearing these bright colored wigs, and then, like, their outfits are trying to be, like, edgy in some kind of way, and it's just not working out for them.
Why did everyone in, the future, they were all wearing, like, at least for these two girls, right? They were wearing, like, leather. Head-to-toe leather. And I know in the original Descendants, the VKs do that too. But, like, Cinderella's not a VK. Why is she wearing, like, an entire leather jacket?
Don't you know? It's because they're, like, all a union now. It's villain kids and Auradon kids together.
But there's no Auradon. It's literally just leather and then, like, sparkles.
Yeah, I agree. I wish they had, like, a fashionable character here.
I think Ella was supposed to be the fashionable character.
Ella?
I think, I don't know, but I thought she's like daughter of Cinderella, you know?
And the bedazzled boots.
What were your thoughts on the glass boots? My sister did not like them at all.
I don't know how, like, low the budget for this was, but I honestly think they could have taken a normal pair of, like, boots and just called it the day. Because what were they trying to do? It looks like they stuck some, like, jewels on it. Like, those all ran with jewels. And then, like, called it a glass slipper.
I really liked Cinderella's dress. I did not like the Queen of Hearts dress. But I feel like there was some potential in there. I just didn't like the way it was shaped.
Now that we've gone into, like, the kids and the Auradon side, what did you think about the villain people when they went back in time and they saw all of the villains when they were younger.
Oh, like getting into characters?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, like their costumes, I mean.
Oh, their costumes? It just looked like Party City to me, I feel like. Like with Maleficent. Oh my god, I saw a really funny video online.
Yeah.
Like when the actress is like singing, her horn like wobbles a little because I guess it wasn't fastened on tight enough. And I was just like, oh yeah, this does not look like threatening at all. And with Hades, I feel like he also, they both looked like they came from some sort of sentence parody, not like the actual movie. What were your thoughts?
I agree. I think especially Maleficent is because of her horns. They were the one part that just like really frustrated me, because in the original movie it was so real. Like I feel like I could touch it and I was like, I can't pull this off.
At the very least, it looked good. Even if it didn't look the most realistic ever at times.
Yeah. It looked really good. All together too. And her staff, everything was good. And then mixed in with all the bright colors they were using and like the weird funky outfits we got, it was just not a good blend.
I hope this makes sense, but I feel like they gave each character a color, like a distinct color, and they couldn't wear anything else. Like, I feel like in the early... I'm doing the same thing you're doing when you said you were comparing, but I feel like in the early Sims movie, they had a color palette, and there was, like, lots of stuff in it. But this one, I feel like they just get one color, and you have to do the most you can with that one color in, like, a few shades of it.
I feel like that's just unrealistic. Because, okay, if you're supposed to be blending in Auradon with villain kid style, then it should be at least a merge of colors, you know? Because you can't just like stay to one color and expect that to happen for the rest of the movie. Also, they stayed in the very same outfits like the whole movie.
I guess that makes sense because they time traveled without any other clothes. But then I noticed that they wore other outfits. Maybe
I know Ella did once after she like...
Oh, Chloe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Chloe. Yeah. But yeah, they just wore the same things over and over.
Maybe they took off their leather jackets and they had like shirts underneath.
Oh. Maybe this should be titled like comparison of Descendants 4 to other movies, but in the previous movies, okay, I loved seeing the new variations of the dresses we got, because like seeing the villain kids try to blend into Auradon and then like finding their own unique style within that.
Okay, what did you think about Uma's costume? Because we didn't really get to talk about her costume, I think.
Oh, Uma, like in the first 5 minutes where she was featured.
Yeah, and her like 2 seconds of screen time.
Okay, Uma, I would say it's fine because like it matched what she had before, you know, so I wouldn't really notice a difference. Yeah, Uma was the best part of this movie, honestly.
I wish she had more screen time because I loved seeing her in it.
Yeah, I think China made a video, like a TikTok though, and she was like, oh, I'm just like sending off the new characters. It's not about like Uma anymore, you know, like
I'd rather have an Uma spinoff than these new characters.
But... I know, right? Anyways, yeah. Her costume was fine, I think.
I agree. I thought it was cute. And I like that they didn't make her wear neon colors.
Yeah, I agree. They stuck to the same. They should just do that. Stick to the same things, you know. And also, since we're like kind of on costumes already, we can dive a bit deeper into the visuals of the movie, like the set and I guess visually aesthetics.
I liked that they made Merlin Academy when they traveled back in time. I liked how they made it very I guess you could just tell that this was very much like, I think they were going for like early 2000s, 90s, like late 90s. I think it was that kind of era they were going for in terms of like coloring and design for a lot of structures. And I liked that. And I thought like this really cute thing like for Castle Coming, which is like the place where the prank is supposed to occur. The design for it has like a little like moving castle, like rotation machine or something. And I thought that was really cute.
Well, that's a good detail to point out. I also think like Descendants has never failed in terms of sets. I've always believed it was like very realistic looking. And most of it was like shot in like Vancouver, right? So it's probably all most real sets. So I think for this one as well, like I didn't notice anything off. Like the sets was a good part of the movie. I'm going to give it that. Yeah. And I also think I wish we had gotten like a little scene with like, I wanted an if only scene, you know, like with that little secluded lake I wanted something like that because that was so enchanting and charming. And I really thought the sentence was like magical for having that scene included.
Yeah.
But we didn't get that in this movie.
I think this movie is very, it's more focused on like the brightness and the overloading of the those visuals instead of like the feeling they bring. So you don't get magic, but you do get lots of bright colors. So I think that's a pretty even trade.
Okay. Whatever you say, Santa.
I was also going to say, I was going to say I loved Bridget's character design. I thought her dresses were really cute.
Yes,
Bridget is like the young queen of hearts.
Yeah.
In case we didn't mention it. And Ella also, I feel like I loved her hair and I loved her out. And I feel like, you know,
her rags.
No, I didn't love it. Oh my God. But I think it did like show like, you know, the class divides between her and Bridget, okay, but them still being friends. You need to let me finish my sentence.
Why was she wearing like blue rags though? I've never like seen that before. I wish they'd done it more realistically. I know it's probably part of the sentence
charm. You wanted her to have like a torn sleeve?
Well, like realistically, you know?
This is the sentence. This is not realistically.
Okay, I know, but they could have done a better job with her rags. That's all I'm saying. Like, why does it have to be blue? And like,
well, did you want her to wear like dirty brown rags?
Well, it adds to the realistic feeling. You know, I just thought they'd like try to like, I don't know, make it look more edgier and ripped, even though it wasn't. They were doing something that it was just taking away from what it was supposed to be.
I feel like adding on to the color palette thing, why did everyone just need to have a matching hair color? Like Cinderella, both Cinderella and Ella have blue hair. But Cinderella, why is Cinderella need to have blue hair? Why can't she just have, like, a normal hair color?
Well, to be fair, in the first Descendants movie, like, Evie had blue hair. Her color palette was blue. Nell had purple.
Oh, that's true, I guess.
So I think it is the Descendants charm.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Wait, but Jay's color palette...
Well, he was just, like, he had black hair and he wore a lot of black leather.
So. He did?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought his color palette was, like, red.
Red, too. Yeah, I like that they mix it up, so... But this is just all of this one single color. You can't move out. Like, it's a rule. You're supposed to live by that.
Like Divergent.
Oh, my God, you're right. Like, you're trapped in a box. And then if you select any other colors, then you're, like, you're back excluded by exile.
Isn't the Queen of Hearts? She had red and black. So she was excluded out of...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we figured out. We found
one character who, like, deviated from the norms.
And now she's gone. Where did she go?
Wow. There should be a conspiracy theory about this. Like, the color theory behind Descendants.
I think Uliana, what did you think about her costume?
I think it was very eccentric. You know, like, it was giving very sea, sea fish. I don't know. Like, I thought the same as Uma's, I guess. Except more low budget. That's what I think about, like, most of these. It just, they didn't have the same level of, I don't know, the Descendants costumes in the first three movies were, I felt like they would feel really good. They had a good texture. But this felt like cheap fabric. What about you?
I'm going to be honest, I did not notice the fabric. That was a really good catch you made. But I agree. I feel like it looked a lot more authentic. And then with this one, it looks very much like you just bought it from... got it made at a workshop 5 seconds ago and you're putting it on.
Yeah, so... I guess that's what it is.
I don't really have anything else to say on costumes or, like, visuals. Do you?
No, I don't think so. I think that was quite a long time for visuals, actually.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like we should move on to the most... I think we're most excited for the characters.
Yeah. So we got introduced to a lot of new characters in this movie, including, I guess we can start off with the Queen of Hearts. So we have, like, the older version, right? And then the younger version, Bridget. I thought Bridget was really cute.
She was so sweet.
Yeah. I also kind of liked her color palette. Like, she had the pink hair. I kind of liked her pink hair.
And I liked how her hair wasn't the same color as her clothes. You know, I feel like her clothes are really cute and matched her energy.
Yeah, it was, like, preppy. It was a nice style. I liked her costumes. Yeah.
And I liked her room, too.
Me too. It was really nice. And I liked that she had, like, this whole hobby, like, baking and, yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
I liked Ella too, in that, and young Ella had this, I guess it's like, not resentment, but she just didn't really appreciate how stuck up royalty could be at times. So I kind of like that. I feel like they haven't really done that with Cinderella in many, like, Cinderella adaptations or whatever. And I really like that they did that. That was a unique way to look at it.
Maybe we should get more Cinderella, like...
No. We have a whole episode that might come out before or after this that we say no to. No, no, no.
Oh, should we add this, like, the version of Cinderella? Oh. Yeah, I guess that was a new take on Cinderella. However, I think this reminded me of the costumes. Like, they had one single personality, and they couldn't deviate from that.
Mm.
Her whole personality was like, I hate royalty. And then we didn't even get to see her with Prince Charming.
Speaking of which, I love that they casted the Brandy and the Prince from the 1997 friend Cinderella. I thought that was so cute, and I love that they had their own little moment. I wish the Prince was in it longer. I wish he was there to see her, like, Cinderella get kidnapped and maybe try and save her or something. But yeah,
I wish you got to see Castle Coming, where we could have seen everything play out.
Yeah, we didn't get to see the part where they met and they fell in love. So,
well, they had one single interaction, I think. He was on the skateboard and he's like, hi ladies. Or like, hi. Yeah,
I also felt really bad. Well, I guess Chad's not like necessarily a great person, but there's this one scene when they're about to go to the school for Chloe, and the prince is like, oh, wait, no, Cinderella is like, oh, but my prince, can't you come with us? And he's like, no, I'm sorry, I need to go see Chad. She's like, oh, but you can go see Chad another time at college. And he's like, no, he really wants me to play lacrosse with him. He's like, okay, fine. And I thought that was really funny, but also really sad for Chad.
I think that was very sad for Chad, although he was not a great character in the first few movies. But yeah, maybe it's because he was, like, in such an unloving family for him. Maybe he was just, like, always by himself.
Is that why he's so attention-seeking?
Maybe. That's... Should be a psychologist, Anna.
We're reading. Oh, thank you. I think we're finding a lot more deeper meanings into these movies than they ever intended us to do.
You're right. I think there's a lot of things that are probably just surface level.
Okay, I guess moving on to Red and Chloe.
Yes.
Red's name characters. Is so, like, funny to me. Like, they could have picked any name and they chose Red. But to be fair, like, the evil queen, Evie, Maleficent, Mal, I can't really get mad at.
That's true.
Names, obvious naming.
Evie was nice, though. Like, had a nice ring to it. And I think just the original names were iconic. These names were just trying to, like, emulate that sense of iconicness. But you can't do that.
Carmina, can I be honest?
Yeah.
I think that you have such a bias towards the old movies. Because that you're, like, very unwilling to, you know, as this movie states, you've been open mind to some of the better qualities. Okay. Always, just a little bit.
But she named us her color. Like, they could do better than that. They could have done a very cheesy name, like, Hatsy. Or, like, Hardy. Probably not Hardy. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, why name her after color?
I think Ever After High, which should not have gotten canceled for Descendants, mm-hmm. such a good job by naming. So, like, Lizzie. I remember her name was Lizzie, Daughter of the Queen of Hearts. I think Lizzie fits it really well.
And Maddie, Daughter of the Mad Hatter. Like, I wanted those kind of names, you know? Well, whatever. Maybe I am biased. Maybe I am biased.
Okay, I am too. Like, I can't say this observation and not act like I'm not doing the same thing.
And Chloe is fine. Like, normal name. Oh, Chloe and Chad, like, very basic names, I think.
I'm not really sure how this relates to Cinderella and Prince Charming, because everyone else, I think for the most part, they have names, like, relating to their parents. Like, whatever, you know?
Maybe it's because, like Prince Charming, very generic, okay? And then Ella is also a generic name, so their whole family has generic names, but everyone else has, like, a theme, I guess, going on to their family.
And their theme is just genericness.
Yeah. That's probably it. But yeah, I think in terms of Red, starting off, she starts off, like, as this rebel who is sneaking out of her, like, castle to, for, like, to be I don't know what she's trying to be.
A rebellious graffiti artist?
I think so, yeah. And there's a curfew in Wonderland, so that's why she's sneaking out and going against her mother's wishes. But, I think since this is Descendants, I'm going to be fair. they try to like show that she's like, oh, wow, I'm such a rebellious kid, and they stick with that theme throughout the show, where she's like, let's break into the headmaster's office, and then Chloe's like, no, you're such a bad person. I can't believe I didn't see it. I'm gonna go my own way, and then she's like, you're such a goody two shoes. So I think it stays true to Descendants' core themes, where it's like, you have a personality, and that's just all you have.
I feel like she didn't really get a character arc. Like, she just goes from, like, no, not even, actually. She doesn't change the way she thinks or anything. I feel like Chloe, she had a character arc about, like, realizing, I don't know how well this was done, but, like, you know, realizing how, in order to do good, you have to, like, not see it so black and white or whatever.
You have to get your hands dirty.
Exactly. But with Red, she just kind of goes the entire movie the same, except at the end, her mom is just, you know, is no longer mean.
Yeah, you're right. Nothing really changed for her. She stuck to the same personality. She was a flat character, you could say. Some English literature terminology coming in.
So I think it's really funny that this movie is called The Rise of Red. But, like, Red did not... Why is it Rise of Red and not, like... Well, I guess it doesn't sound as good because there's no alliteration. But, like, the rise of Chloe makes more sense because she at least had character development.
You're right. Like, she changed her view on things.
Yes. How was Red rising? What did she do?
I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to have an edgy name. I think that's it. But, yeah. What did you think about Chloe?
I thought she was fine. I liked that she had that little arc. But I'm still a bit confused about her arc. Like, it's the whole thing, like, she sees things as black and white, but in order to do good, you have to, like, not only believe things that are stereotypically good. Is that her arc? Like, you have to, like...
That's it, I think.
Yeah, okay.
No, because she simplified things. Like the Descendants directors.
Keep it coming. These are so funny. I love them. I also thought it was kind of, I'm sorry, I forgot what I said, so you go ahead.
Oh, I wasn't going to say anything. So, like, I think personally, Chloe, I was a bit annoyed with her character at first because she, that scene where she dropped the vase in Cinderella's household, and then she gets Ella in trouble, and she's like, but I said sorry, I apologize. And then she's like, that doesn't get me ungrounded, does it? And then she just doesn't understand. Like, she doesn't understand how her mom came from such a sad home life, and she turned out to be a great person. I feel like that shows that, like, if she doesn't have that understanding, then what does that say about her character? Would she be different if she was raised in a different household?
Yeah, I was really confused because she, as you said, she said that line about, like, how could this person who has such a distaste for royalty be my mom today? And I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah, so I feel like that kind of doesn't encapsulate the message of Cinderella's story, because despite all these harsh circumstances given to her, she turned out to be a great person. But I guess that's part of Chloe's plot line, because she's like, oh, I grew up having such a great life, and then I didn't understand my mom's home life, so I should be more appreciative. And then there was that one line where Ella said, oh, if you're getting rewarded, then you didn't really do anything good, did you? I'm like, that's a good point, you know? Like, she needs to learn how to go without these kind of luxuries.
I don't think Ella was a good parent, like, in this movie, because why does her daughter not know anything? She was so surprised that her mother was obviously struggling and, like, under all this pressure, but did her mother not, like, tell her? And if not, like, I'm a bit surprised, like, because she had the distaste for royalty when she was young. Didn't she at least try to make sure that Cinderella was Chloe was aware about, like, class differences and, like, the struggles people face? But I guess not, so.
Yeah. That's another plot hole, I guess, because it really does make sense that Ella would raise her child in such a different way. But maybe it's because she, like, had such a difficult home life that she didn't want her child to worry about that. She just wanted the best
for
her.
That's fair.
But once again, maybe we're reading too much into it. You never know with Disney.
I guess we can go into the main villain of the movie. I guess there's, like, two, the future Queen of Hearts, but not really, and Uliana.
Uliana. Uliana was a funny character.
Why didn't they just make her Ursula? I was so confused.
I don't know. Like, where did Ursula go? And, yeah, some other villains were also missing. But, the VKs were fine. I didn't really have a problem with them. I think they were also flat characters. Dimensionless. But that's fine. That's who they're supposed to be.
I really wish that instead of Uliana being the head and there's just these random villain kids, they did like the original four's parents, like Jafar, Cruella,
Maleficent.
Maleficent and Evil Queen, and then Maleficent was the head.
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't gonna do Ursula.
I was thinking the reasoning behind making Uliana in charge is showing how, I guess, Maleficent kind of like rose to the top and she had this kind of like taking control moment. But then if you look at the parallel between Uma and Mal, like Uma was trying to rise to the top once again. You know?
Wow.
That's what I was thinking. Like, it switched around between the daughters and the kids.
That's so good. That's so deep.
I don't know. Once again, you never know with Disney. What did you think about, like, the Queen of Hearts as a character?
As a character, like, young Queen of Hearts or old Queen of Hearts?
I think we can both agree. Bridget was a really sweet character. I loved her. But what about old Queen of Hearts?
I feel like her jadedness made sense, I guess. But I don't know. I feel like we never even learned what made Bridget turn into what the queen became later. So I feel like, is she even a character? Like, all we have is the old version of her, which has no personality except, haha, I'm evil and I hate love. And then we have the young version of her, and her only personality is, I'm really nice to everyone and I like baking. So is she even a character? Because we don't even see what her transition is. We just see her go from one to the other, and then she becomes really nice at the end. So, like, what is she?
Something that I'm really, like, troubled with is, if they were all truly good characters, they wouldn't let one single bad prank change their whole life. Like, she was such a sweet character before. Would one bad prank really, like, want her to take over the whole, like, Avordon? Like, that's crazy to me.
I guess it would have to be a really, really severe prank.
Maybe. We're going to get into plot holes later, so I'm going to hold this off. Is that all we have to say for characters?
I think so, at least for everyone who matters.
Yeah, for all the main characters. Everyone else was just, like, there.
I guess we can talk about Prince Charming briefly.
Oh, yeah.
Why did they set it up to be, like, him and Cinderella have a beautiful love story, and then he's in one scene with her, and he's never to be seen again?
He wasn't even, like, charming in that scene. He's just, like, I'm charming, I'm royalty, but I don't really like bragging about it. But he's bragging about it, like,
I'm on my skateboard, look at me go.
Why are all these characters so insufferable? Like, Jaladin, charming, why are they all so insufferable?
Call us Jaladin. Okay, I think since we're both already, like, you know, fumed and ready, we should just get into plot holes
fully. Yes, okay, thank you. What do you think is the biggest plot hole in this movie?
The biggest plot hole? There's so many to choose from. I gotta think about it. Okay, biggest plot hole, in my opinion, and I think this is pretty widely agreed upon on the internet from what I've seen, is that, as we learn, when the VKs sneak into the office to get the magical cookbook, it is enchanted so that if it gets into the wrong hands, they won't be able to access the cookbook. So the VKs, you know, when they, Red and Chloe sneak in, they see them and they get the book. The VKs get the book and they freeze. And then Red and Chloe take the book and they run away. And that's how they stop the prank from happening. But then also in the original timeline, they would have had bad intentions. So when they open up the book, they would have been frozen anyways. So they couldn't have used the book to perform this prank. So even if they took the book, the prank surely would have happened in some other way, right? So, like, I feel like that's a huge plot hole.
I agree. It doesn't really make sense. So that's why originally when I was watching, I thought it was going to be Ella who did the prank. Because she was giving these really strange, suspicious looks to Bridget. Because, like, there's this one line in the movie where Bridget's like, Ella's my only friend. And Ella's like, you know, I thought she's like, oh, we're not actually friends. Because she, maybe it was her, like, hating royalty agenda or something. But I thought she didn't consider her a real friend. So I thought Ella was going to be the one to do something to Bridget. Maybe this will come up in the next movie, but I feel like if it doesn't, this is, like, a really big plot hole. It just makes no sense.
If it does, I will give them so much credit, and I will love the setup. But if they don't, yeah, this is just, like, oh, okay. I didn't know we were going to be like this.
What about another plot hole?
Another plot hole. I think we talked about a lot of them pretty briefly throughout this episode, continuously. But, oh, yeah, okay. So when the VKs were frozen, okay, I remember that Red was saying, like, oh, you know, they're going to be like this for a long time or whatever. So if, like, wait, they can't even go to the crown, the castle coming. So if they couldn't go to castle coming, who could have performed the prank? Ella, maybe?
That's a very good point.
It has to be her, right? It does not make sense if it's not her.
I know. And, oh, those looks she was giving, like, there's no way that was, like, purely coincidence, right?
Do you remember in the beginning when she and the Queen of Hearts were meeting as adults and the Queen of Hearts was like, oh, you know, there are so many people here who will give you fake smiles and then stab you in the back or something like that. I feel like that was a referral to Ella, right? Like being her friend, but then doing that prank on her, or maybe doing something else if she wasn't doing that prank.
And she did like target Ella when she was like capturing Auradon. So she was like specifically targeting Ella. So maybe this isn't a plot hole. Maybe it's just leading up.
Yeah,
but then now it's a plot.
But why is this entire movie just leading up to another movie? That's not how a movie should be. If it's gonna be like that, make it a show. Like, I don't understand why this entire movie, it felt like they were building up to something that never happens.
As a side note, I feel like this could have been a really interesting show if we got to see like Auradon before it was Auradon, like a whole clip of those, a whole series of those previous old characters, like in that 80s 90s timeline. I would have liked to see that.
I agree. I think my only thing is not really a plot hole, but isn't the whole point of Auradon was that the Beast united all the kingdoms? But then in this Merlin Academy, all these people are still hanging out in high school, right? So how do the stories happen to the same extent?
That's true. That's very true. Like, how did anything change?
Yeah, because they made it seem like in the first ones, like that before the Beast united to make Auradon, there was chaos and the villains were doing all this stuff. But they were all going to school together. So, like, what was happening?
Yeah. Do they consider chaos, like, these really petty pranks? Like, that's kind of insane.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's because they were young at this point. They hadn't, like, gone on to, like, poison all the people in their fairy tales. You know? Or they didn't do their bad actions yet.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I guess that's just the summary of everything. That makes sense, kind of. You'll have to accept it.
What are your hopes for this? I'm like 80% sure they're going to... No, 95% sure there's going to be a fifth. What are your hopes for that fifth movie?
My hopes? I really am hoping they step up the song game. I really want a new variety of songs. And if they do decide to like... continue on with this plot, I would really like to see more of young Bridget and Ella. I feel like they had good interactions, and I would like to see more of that cast.
I really liked Bridget and Ella's friendship as well, so I really hope we do something with that at the very least.
Well, who knows? It could have been a fake friendship all along, so yeah. I would have liked to see Castle Coming, because Descendants has a tendency to like have these big dance scenes with really pretty dresses at the end, and I wanted that, like the pretty dresses with Castle Coming. So I didn't see a point of them mentioning it unless they were going to show it. Like, you could have done it at any point of the show. The prank could have been scheduled at any point in the show. So why choose Castle Coming and like build up all this tension only for it to not really have anything showing? So I want something like that in Descendants 5 if it does come out. Like a big dance number with really nice, pretty dresses where they like take it off and make it shorter, but it's really pretty. You know what I mean? Like, that scene when they're in the water and then...
Oh, like, and they're on the ship?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would like something like that. That would be really nice. And I guess I want to see how, I guess, older Bridget / Queen of Hearts has a relationship with Red. Like, I want to see their new personal development in terms of the relationship.
I want to see if they're even friends, because they didn't really interact in the last part of the movie, did they?
No.
So like, even though the prank did not occur, did something else occur that made them still not be close? I don't know. The movie said at the end, like, you know, messing with time is very dangerous. So like, who knows what will happen because of that.
That's something that's always bothered me in time travel movies. This just kind of goes back to plot holes, but like, why do the people who travel back in time still have their memories of traveling back in time if everything's changed? Maybe there's, like, some complicated physics behind this, but I feel like if all the events have changed, then Red should only have memories of her mom being a good person because the prank never happened. and she would have never become a bad person. And everything, like, changed. So why does she have the new memory? Like, why does she have her past memory still?
That's a really good point. And they wouldn't be the same people, like, at all. Like, very different characters, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. So that's another plot hole. But yeah, I think that's done in most time travel movies.
I hope they address this in the next movie, but I feel like it was really, really strange of them that instead of, you know, Red's mom coming to this realization of how important her daughter is to her, or like she learns something or she gets this realization, she just becomes nice because they went back in time and changed it. So nothing like happened for her to become that way. They just did this thing and now she's nice and great. And I don't know, I feel like there has to be more to that.
I agree. But I guess in the original, like, the villains never really cared for their kids. Well, true. Maybe in their own way. I don't know.
Do you have anything else to add?
You're putting me on the spot here, Santa. Let me think. In terms of expectations for the movie?
In terms of anything, honestly, about this theme.
Oh, that's... I feel like this goes back to me wanting more of the previous Merlin Academy, whatever it was. But I would really like to see them, like, in their classes. I want kind of a Harry Potter kind of thing where we're introduced to the classes, like, I don't know, sorcery, blah, blah, blah. And we see that because we kind of had that in Descendants 1 where they showed Mal, like, I don't know, doing lessons. Then Evie was doing chemistry. And I kind of want the characters to be given more of a personality besides the plot. Like, they need to have their own interests. Evie had fashion. Mal had magic. I don't know. And Bridget had baking, which I liked. She had a distinct personality. But then...